Tristan Winder, Rick Windham, glad to be with you here for a Monday edition as we begin the week, as we always do, with our weekly legislative update with the District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us here for the second time in the month of March. And Senator Jacobson, it was a busy week last week in the legislature.
They're all pretty busy, and they're getting busier. So, but still a lot of fun, but wow.
Well, yeah. As long as you can consider it fun, Mike, you're making progress because... Man, I mean, you jumped into the middle of a fire.
Yeah.
Well, it's been very interesting, to say the least, and it got a little entertaining on the floor for anybody that's been watching the other day. Some tempers flared, and I got to tell you, it was interesting the first week and a half because people were coming over to me telling me that they're probably kind of, you brought a little bit of a different tone, and people seem to be pretty... collegial with each other, and then here at the end of the week, this last week, there were a couple of senators got into it, and it got a little ugly, and then we had to kind of all pause for a minute, and then started again, and then got back to doing things. But when you get into filibusters, those are never fun, and of course LB 773 was up for debate, and And the process of 773, this is Senator Brewer's constitutional carry bill,
right,
which I co-sponsored. I would tell you there's 22 of us that co-sponsored the bill. We had to pull it from committee, which is not something that's done very often, but it was done for all the right reasons. The committee was deadlocked. The committee chair actually was not opposed to seeing it get pulled. So you had to get votes on the floor. You had to get 25 votes to pull it from the committee to get it into the first round of debate. And then, of course, the debate, we knew it was going to take 33 votes to get cloture'd, so we knew it would be filibustered. So we had 8 hours of debate about a lot of different things that didn't have much to do with 773.
Right.
And then ultimately got it, we passed it to move it on to select file.
Yeah, Senator Jacobson, I think that was some of the big news in the unicameral last week was the passage of Senator Brewer's cancellation for the extensive processes that have to be done to do the concealed carry. So with this advancing, thanks to your support and several of your colleagues, I think it has to be debated two more times on the unicameral floor. Is that right?
It does, and we'll see a filibuster on both rounds of those debates. And so factor that in when you start looking at the limited amount of time left and the fact that we've only had 50 of the 107 bills that were prioritized by senators, committees, and the speaker. So think about that. Less than half of the priority bills have advanced beyond the first round of debate. There's a lot of work to be done. And when you get any bill that's going to be filibustered, you're going to get 8 hours for each round of debate that can be filibustered. And so that's going to take a lot of time off of our remaining calendar. And then the other thing is that we saw the initial budget information that was delivered to us on Friday. That was really showing what we're going to do on general fund transfers. And then the ARPA money carve out, that's going to be released today. And in fact, at 9 o'clock this morning, I'm going into a budget briefing to get the jump on what's happening there. And, you know, whenever there's a whole bunch of money up for grabs, everybody's got a place for it. And that's when it's going to get really, really interesting. And so I feel good about where we are in our projects for the 42nd district. So a lot of my time will be spent playing defense rather than offense at this point. Up to now, I've been playing a lot of offense behind the scenes. Now I want to protect what we've got.
And when you speak of protecting what we have, Senator Jacobson, you're referring to some of the funds for the Sustainable Beef Project and for the rail park, I imagine, as well.
That's correct. Sustainable beef, and just to give you a little more history on that, there was an original bill that was entered into the legislature, and that original bill was asking for $75 million. And again, that was really more of a placeholder. I don't think anyone ever expected that their 75 would be there. The governor put into his budget specifically for sustainable beef $15 million of ARPA funds. And these funds are coming from ARPA as opposed to the general fund. ARPA has very strong, very, very clear restrictions on what you can use those funds for. Unfortunately, the chamber, and Gary was very clear when that bill was crafted and when we sent the information to the committee originally, outlining the sewage treatment portion was what we were really targeting, which was about $37.5 million. So that's what we were hoping to get. The problem was that because there was tax increment financing for $21.5 million and another million coming from LB 840 dollars, they went in and took that $22.5 million, lopped it off the $37.5, and that's how the governor ended up with 15. So I've visited with the governor about it. I visited with Senator Stenner, chairman of the Appropriations Committee, Senator Mike McDonald, who's carrying the bill, and Senator Wishart, who's on the Appropriations Committee. And I've tried to work with all of those to be able to move that number higher. I think they've concluded that as it relates to ARPA funds, that the $15 million is the most that we can get from ARPA. So I've worked with Senator McDonald on, can we at least get another $5 million from budget appropriations? And that's what will be up for debate yet. And that's what everyone's going after right now, is any of those other dollars in the excess dollars in the general fund that would be transferable and still leave us with a safe rainy day fund. And so that's the battle lines there. I feel very comfortable we can hold on to the $15 million. But like I say, we're going to get into a lot of debate here the next 2 weeks on how these funds are going to be spent. And so I'll be playing really strong defense to make sure we don't lose the 15, which I think we're in pretty strong hands with, and then whether or not we can get another $5 million added to that.
Again, we're pleased to have District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update on KODY's Mugs of the Morning. And some news that may be overshadowed at this point, Senator Jacobson, that took place early in the week, last weekend, the legislative session, was on the possible water situation and invoking rights that date back between the Compact of Nebraska and Colorado to nearly 100 years. And these were projects that were discussed early last week in the unicameral.
Yes, they were, and there again, it's interesting when you look at the Interstate Compact. We always, a few years ago, a lot of discussion between the Interstate Compact between Kansas and Nebraska, and the fact that Nebraska wasn't delivering the water that they were supposed to deliver. Of course, that's how NCORP got started, and the transfer of water and taking wells out of production so that we could meet our obligations under the Republican River compact with Kansas. Well, this is a similar kind of compact with Colorado, where this is South Platte River water. And the way it works is they're supposed to deliver 120 cubic feet per second during the irrigation season and guarantee that delivery to Nebraska through the South Platte. And then in the non-irrigation season, we're supposed to be getting 500 cubic feet per second of water flowing down the Platte. However, Colorado's interpretation, and I think others would probably agree, that flow is contingent upon us, at least the off-peak flow from October 1st to April 15th. That flow would only be guaranteed if we built this canal. And it was started originally, and then there was talk of doing it again back in the 80s. And so that's why the governor's pushing for funding for these dollars, because the concern is that Colorado, as they continue to expand their population in the Front Range, they're looking at putting in more dams, more ways to deliver water to the metro area of Denver. And as they do that, it's going to impact the flows of water to Nebraska. So this is one of those things looking into the future. Do we have adequate flows today? Probably. Will we have adequate flows 10 years, 15, 20 years from now? That's really questionable. And so I think that's why there are strong decisions being made now to figure out how do we preserve that. We feel pretty good about the compact language if we build the canal, but there's a tremendous amount of pushback. by others to say technically this is $500 million that it would take to really move this along, and that probably wouldn't be the final cost.
And Senator Jacobson, it's been so busy for you as you've been appointed to the Nebraska Unicameral. I think this is the first time we've gotten to talk about this topic with you, and it's definitely a hot topic. Where do you stand on it personally? And obviously, you voted in favor of these projects a week ago, I believe.
Yes, I did, and I'll continue to vote in favor. You know, there's a lot of discussion about, some are arguing that if this water flows, of course, it'll flow clear across the state. Others are arguing, well, it's going to all be absorbed into the groundwater, really more in the western part of the state. And I would tell you that that either one is a good thing for our area. We want to continue to protect the Ogallala Aquifer. We also want to be able to protect any surface rights that are there. And all you got to do is look around right now at the drought that we're experiencing. You look at all the wheat growers to the south. The wheat price is one. It's the highest wheat price that I think we've ever seen. And yet you got wheat farmers that are afraid to sell any of that, those high prices, because they don't know whether they're going to grow a wheat crop this year. Water is going to continue to be very, very important. It always has been, and it always will be as we move into the future. And so I think protecting water at all costs is going to be important to us. And so I'll continue to be a supporter, although I will tell you that this is going to hit some heavy pushback as we get into the lower to the later stages of debate. I might also mention that when we start talking about the dollars, the ARPA dollars, when we start talking about the general fund dollars, the excess dollars in the general fund, I think it's important to remember that the Appropriations Committee, and certainly I, am very focused on the idea that we ought to be spending these dollars on one-time expenditures. We spend the dollar one time. There's no repeating. We don't have to do it again next year and the year after. When you start starting new programs and then funding up front, and then you commit that you got to fund this well into the future, that can be a budget buster in the future. So
yes,
I think everybody's focused right now, or should be, that any of these dollars that are coming, that are one-time dollars coming in, they need to be one-time expenditures on the other side. These need to be investments into our future, not just throwing money away. And you'll see some of the requests out there that are just money that's just being distributed, and I don't think that's the direction to go. These need to be one-time investments and wise investments as we have these dollars available today.
Now, Senator Jacobson, as we look ahead to the legislative calendar this week, you'll be in action today, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the legislature going to be out of session on Friday and Monday. But before that quick break in the action for you and your colleagues, what do we have on the agenda for the coming week, sir?
Well, this week's going to be focused on budget, and really this week and next. We are planning to go late night, so we will go as late as 8 o'clock this week. And as you said, we will have a break on Friday. Actually, we'll be off on Friday. We'll break early, should be breaking probably around 3 o'clock on Thursday. And so that's going to give me an opportunity to come back home. I spent this on these short weekends. I've stayed in Lincoln and continue to study bills and do research and really just try to get my arms around everything that's coming at me. And then I'll plan to go back to North Platte this weekend. Be in the district and plan to do a few things there and help organize campaign. But, you know, my campaign's really had to kind of take a back seat to what's going on. This is absolutely a full-time job and then some. And so I plan to really gear up my campaign once the session ends. It'll be a pretty short time frame between then and the primary election. But I really got to focus on my job at hand, which is getting these things to the finish line. So I'll take the long weekends to do some work back in the district, but otherwise I really need to stay focused here. And it'll be an interesting week this week. It'll be long. It'll be grueling. But I'm looking forward to it. Like I say, it's been exciting. I've been exhilarated by it. I think I can make a positive difference here and I think really built some great relationships with senators, and looking forward to be able to come back next year and take advantage of the relationships that got built this year.
And Senator Jacobson, I'd be remiss, too, if we didn't mention with you as well, a lot of your constituents were in the capital city with you late last week and throughout the week entirely as North Platte St. Pat's was trying their hand at a state championship and come home back to your district with a state championship title in their hands.
I'm incredibly proud of that basketball team. I'm probably a little biased because, obviously, Jack Hess was... is Krista Hess's son, and she's our chief credit officer at the bank. And I've known Jack since he was just a little guy, and watched those kids grow up. And it's just been amazing to watch that group of kids play. You know, to think that it's been, 94 years since they last won a state basketball championship at St.
Yeah.
Pat's. What a great team. What a great effort. And I'd also mention they also got the Sportsmanship Award. So I think they really represented our area very, very well. Could not be more proud of that team. And I've got a little surprise for them that I'm working on down here as well. So
glad to hear.
I just really want to congratulate them.
You'll have to keep us up to date on that surprise, Senator Jacobson.
I will do so.
Now, before we wrap up, Mike, wanted to bring up one other item of business with you. Obviously, we know when the governor appointed you to the unicameral, that left a couple of vacancies back here in the district, as you for a long time have served on the Community Redevelopment Authority for the City of North Platte and on the North Platte Airport Authority as well. And tomorrow, the city council meeting, Mayor Kelleher will introduce his suggestions to fill those vacancies that were left vacant with your appointment, including Greg Wilkie to the CRA and Randy Bligsby to the North Platte Airport Authority.
Yes, and I think those are excellent choices. I think those guys will do very well. Greg and I have known each other a lot of years. We've been good friends, and I think that we'll be in good hands as we move forward. I think that the airport's going to have some challenges here, but I'm very confident that we're in a very good position to be able to reestablish the air service if it does get interrupted. I think a lot of this is still COVID related, and I think there are the pilot shortage. Quite honestly, I think part of it had to do with some vaccine mandates, which of course you know I oppose, and I think that's impacted the airline, particularly United, to some extent, and has caused some pilot shortage. And as you recall that. If you think about it, the pilot scheme of things, you start out flying these more commuter flights, and then most pilots want to end up flying the big jets. Well, if you have retirees or you have people that don't want to be vaccinated and they get let go, then that's going to open up slots on up the line, and so then they start losing pilots on down the line. So I think that's probably what's doing some of this. But whatever the reason, I think that North Platte has proven that they do have the employments available, and that the people are there, they will fill flights if they fly them. So I think we'll get that back.
And these two individuals, pending a council approval, of course, Senator Jacobson, obviously have the advantage of having communication with you, serving in these roles for a number of years, if need be, and if it would benefit them and their role in the city and the airport in any way, shape, or form.
Sure, and they realize that. Both those guys know that I'm a phone call away, and I'm very committed to keeping both those efforts alive. I served on the CRA for 23 years, but all the other members of the CRA have been there for quite some time. Mike Bacon does a great job of really coordinating what we're doing on the legal side. So we're in good hands there. And as far as the Airport Authority, Al Erickson had been the chairman before. He's the vice chairman today. He knows his way around the Airport Authority and what needs to get done. And so we've got a good Airport Authority board today. So I'm comfortable that both those boards will be very strong and in good hands moving forward. And like I say, they know I'm only a phone call away, and I'll do everything I can to help them, both with the history and to the extent that I can through this office.
Senator Jacobson, is there anything else you'd like to add this morning, sir?
I can't think of it. I'm going to jump on a chamber call, and for those of you who haven't got the memo, I am starting on Monday mornings after this call to call into the North Platte Chamber, it'll be a Zoom call. But there, anybody that wants to call in, they can just get the call-in number. So I'm really, really looking forward and hoping to get input from the public as we move along in these final days of the session. I'm really relying heavily on input from constituents in terms of their views on various bills as we move to the finish line. So please reach out. Let me know what your thoughts are. I'm doing everything I can to study bills and form my own opinions. But I believe that my constituents are the people who I need to be serving, and I need your input. And so I'm reaching out the chamber as part of that. But I want any resident, if you want to call in, get on that call or call my office directly, please do. Your input's important. I try to respond to all the emails that I get. But my staff is here to take calls while I'm in session, and they brief me. So I would really appreciate the input.
Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time and your openness and transparency that you're continuing here with us on KODY, and look forward to talking to you again next week, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, Mike. That, again, is District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update on KODY's Mugs in the Morning.